guys, welcome to Call Me Whenever. I'm Shivani.
And I'm Chinaza.
And yeah, that's our duo.
I must say, today is like a childhood dream come true for me because one of the people that I loved watching on TV is now one of our guests. Her name is Caitlin Mayer, and she's been singing and acting on television since she was 4 years old. In fact, in 2008, at the age of 4, she made it to the top 10 on the third season of America's Got Talent, singing Somewhere Out There, which is one of my favorite songs, by the way. She was also the youngest person to ever reach that level. Caitlin has performed at numerous expos, festivals, and concerts, including one national Christmas tree lighting attended by President George W. Bush and over 7,000 guests. She was also selected by Compassion International as its first ever child ambassador, visiting children all over El Salvador. She signed a record deal late in 2009 with Indie Extreme for the release of her debut album, You Are Meant to Be. She's also appeared in Disney movies, the whole entire pretty much Santa Buddies franchise as the voice of the character Tiny. She played the orphan Quinn in The Search for Santa Paws and played Sarah Reynolds in Santa Paws 2, The Santa Pups. We will definitely be getting to that later, too, so don't you worry. But for now, welcome, Caitlin. We are so, so thrilled to have you on our pod.
Woo, woo, woo. Thank you so much. It's so good to be here and get to see you guys as well. This is awesome.
Yeah, so before we begin, I just would love to know, like, what's going on in your life now? Like, what are you looking forward to? You probably have so many exciting things. It's such a pivotal moment for you, so... like, how are you doing?
Thank you. Well, yeah, you're actually right. So right now it's kind of like a season of change for me. I'm about to go to college in the fall. I'm going to be going to Duke University. And so that's really exciting. It's just a time of, I just graduated. And so everything is, you know, changing a little bit. But I think that it's all for the better. And it's going to be really fun and exciting moving forward. And over the past year, I've done some things with continuing my music, and I love to write songs still, and I've released some songs that I've written on YouTube, on my YouTube channel, as well as some covers and things like that. I still stay pretty active in that regard as well. But also, obviously, due to COVID, there's been kind of a slowdown in terms of the opportunities in that industry to some extent for a little while, and during that time, I was a member of the USA Debate national team, and so I was one of 12 students from across the US. Yeah, it was really fun, and one of 12 students from across the United States chosen to, like, kind of represent America on behalf of, like, international competitions worldwide through debate. So definitely kind of blending those two, like, foreign policy and entertainment, the arts interests together, which I know seem very, very disconnected, but I think it's really cool how, like, debate and politics can be really divisive, but, you know, music and some of those other outlets are more unifying and, you know, kind of like a universal language. So that's just, I think it's two, like, really neat buckets to have moving forward. But yeah, we'll see what happens in the future, how those two kind of mix together, intertwine in some way. But yeah, I'm excited. It'll be fun to see what happens.
Oh, that sounds, like, amazing. Like, all these achievements. I think definitely coming into... like, just knowing all that you've done growing up, you have such a span of, like, you know, I mean, you were on TV when you were 4. Like, that's crazy, because when I was 4, I don't think I was.
When I was 4, I was using building blocks. I was, like, reading Dr. Seuss.
No, I did all that too. I promise you, like, I was such a normal 4-year-old as well. Like, I loved my little, like, pedal car and, like, my, like, princesses and Barbies. I don't know. Like, I was so normal as well. So, like, totally feel you.
So do you think that, like, because I, well, where I was heading with that is that, you know, you started at 4 and then, you know, you kind of just kept going. I mean, I do remember when my family are big America's Got Talent, like, watchers. Like, every season we'll watch it. And I do remember, because I think when you were there, when you were on the show, we were 8, Chinaza was 7. But same thing.
Okay, thank you for making that age distinction, on the pod. Really, I appreciate that.
Welcome. Really important.
I had to let everyone know that I'm older. So,
of course, yeah, as you,
like,
should.
Come on. So, but
it's your birthright.
Sorry, so, like,
that joke,
but it's okay but so, like, I remember you, like, walking onto stage, like, super, like, you know, like, like a small child, and then you just start singing and we're all in awe. Like, I think honestly, like, aww, everyone, like every family that was probably watching it was kind of in silence, in awe of like what is coming out of this like young, like almost toddler's like mouth. Like, this is incredible. And then I feel like because of that, you kind of grew, I would say, kind of rapidly with all these achievements that, you know, Chinonza mentioned, like singing in front of so many people, and then even being part of a few like movies and things like that. Do you think that, like, how was that experience, like, growing up?
I think so. I think my childhood was, so this is like such an interesting question, because trying to condense all of those experiences kind of into one concise explanation is really hard. I think my childhood was, like, when I was at home, when I was with my family, it was very normal. It was very typical. Like, right. I was the average kid. I had all of my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't know anything different. And so, in that regard, it was kind of, like, I loved life. I loved singing. I loved performing in front of people. I loved making people happy. That was just something that, like, just gave me so much joy ever since I was really little. Like, I still remember when I went out on that stage at 4 years old, and I saw people smiling and some people like crying in the audience. Like, that something inside of me like felt very moved. Mm-hmm. And that made me just so joyful. And that was kind of this passion that has been retained over the years for just giving people life and hope, you know? And kind of just as opportunities and doors opened as a result of that, which I'm super grateful for growing up, it's, you know, it was kind of a whirlwind. A lot happened in a short span of time after America's Got Talent, and I was able to foster some really close relationships with the director of the kind of Air Bud franchise. Mm-hmm. And he was so pivotal in terms of kind of helping my acting career, to helping me to just get a foot in the door in that industry, and just other opportunities that would go on from there as well. And I don't know, I just think it was, there are so many people who were such an important part of that journey. So many, like, random connections. Like, you attend an event and you meet somebody and then you become friends with them. And, like, a year later down the road, you don't know how that network will grow and how that will help you and how you'll be able to help that person, you know? And so there's all of these little instances that I think played a part. But overall, yeah, it was really exciting, very fast-paced, still is. But, you know, as long as my goals for myself have always been, like, as long as I am enjoying what I'm doing, because I never want it to become a burden. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm enjoying it and, like, prioritizing mental health and making sure that I'm keeping myself sane, but also as long as I'm doing it purposefully and trying to make an impact with it, like, that's all that I could ask for. And so I'm happy with what happened, because I think that throughout the whole journey, that's kind of been what I've hopefully achieved to some extent.
I love that point that you made too, because I think that oftentimes when people start young in the entertainment industry, oftentimes it changes something so beautiful and pure, like such a natural talent, because like you're just like such a precocious child to be out on a stage like performing for people, even though for you probably just felt like you're doing something you loved, for other people it was amazing. And that just shows by like how far you went through America's Got Talent. And I think that sometimes like in this kind of industry, sometimes like it'll take something so pure and make it so much of a burden for the people who love doing it. So it's so great to hear your story of how like you kind of remained true to yourself throughout it. And I would just like to know, like, how did it feel? And you touched on this a little bit. How did it feel just like walking out on that stage at 4 years old and seeing all these people around you? Like, did you get stage fright? Because for me, like, I am the most nervous person ever. Like, I wasn't a singer or anything, but I did karate growing up, and we had tournaments where we'd like do our forms, and we did like breaking boards, yeah, and like sparring and stuff. And I would get so nervous before like those kinds of things, especially with competitions. Like, I was a softie, so like the first karate competition I ever did, I like became besties with the person I was about to spar, and then I felt bad sparring her, so like, I lost because I had become her friend, which never happened again after that. After that, I got gold every time, because I was like, I can't do that again.
Amazing.
I can't, like become besties with the person I'm about to spar. But, like, I was always so nervous. So, like, I would love to know, like, how you felt performing and doing all the things that you did at such a young age, or if it could have also just been second nature to you, but...
No, I promise I'm human too, so, like, I also, like, over the years, like, definitely experience, to some extent, nerves when you get out in front of people. Like, I think it's just human to sometimes, when you face tons of people who you don't know, you don't know anything about them, anything about their experiences, anything about the way that their, like, minds tick, etc., you don't know how you're going to be received, and as a result, I think that that's kind of where a lot of fright is derived from, because it's, like, what are they going to think of me? Like, are they going to judge me? What if I make a mistake, etc.? You always want to be your best. But I think that there's this kind of pure innocence, kind of like what you mentioned a little earlier, Chinoza. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're so young, you don't see the world from the perspective that people are going to judge you, from the perspective that people are going to think differently of you. And I think that that's really cool, because I remember when I went out onto the stage, like, all I saw was a bunch of people who were smiling. And granted, like, I was four. Like, I was, like, the cute little kid. How nasty were their comments going to be?
And I hope you knew it, too. Because when I was four, I definitely knew I was cute. I was like, I'm cute.
Like, come on now.
I don't know. Like, for me, it was just a really exciting feeling. Like, just getting to have that moment to sing in front of all those people. Like, I remember before, so... like, a little bit of context, before I went on to America's Got Talent, they had had this requirement for my church's, like, children's choir that you couldn't sing in it until you were, like, 4 or 5 or something like that. But anyway, I wasn't of age, and I was so devastated about it because I wanted to go and I wanted to perform with the other kids, and I'm a year young for my grade, always have been, because I started a little bit earlier.
Me too. So,
yes,
that's why she bullies me all the time.
Yeah, that's why I bully her.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, and so I remember, I was like, oh, all my friends are getting to do this, this is, like, so sad, and I really want to do that, I want to be able to share this gift with others, too, in that way, and going on to America's Got Talent, it was the first time that I ever felt like I was able to actually sing in front of other people, and as I got older, you know, that the nerves set in, like, I still get, like, the one that scares me still to this day, and I think that most professional singers would agree with this, is, like, singing the national anthem, because everyone knows the words, and if you, like, mess up, it's your toast. So, I don't know, and there's so many, like, national anthem fails on the internet that I'm just paranoid about singing that song. I love singing it for events or whatever, but it's still a little bit scary sometimes, but, you know, I think kind of working through where the nerves come from has helped me over the years to kind of, when they appear, be like, you know what, like, we are all on a floating rock, and, like, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks, like, it doesn't matter, it's gonna be okay, like, if I bomb this entirely, like, it doesn't matter if everyone applauds, or if everybody thinks it sucks, as long as one or two people were like, wow, that was cool, you know, were impacted.
No, that's so true, and I would like to go back to the young child thing, because I understand where you're coming from. There are so many things that, like, I was a year behind my class, like, right now, like, even being 20 while everyone else is 21, like, I definitely feel that, but, like, even in New Jersey, like, at our high school, everybody learned, I don't think every high school is like that, because I have a ton of friends who don't know how to drive, but in our high school, like, everyone took, and maybe this is because we're from New Jersey, and New Jersey is, like, a commuter state, so everyone must drive to get from point A to point B, because I'm in D.C. right now, and I was just talking to my friend, and she was like, oh, yeah, I never had to learn how to drive in Boston, and, like, people in D.C. don't know how to drive, like, drive as much, but in Jersey, like, it is required as a teenager to know how to drive. So sophomore year, like, during gym class, we would actually take a driver's ed class, like, through the curriculum and take the exam, like, in class and do everything in school. Like, everything was laid out for us.
It was amazing. It was amazing because, like, it was essentially a class. So you're, like, forced to study for a class, and then at the same time, it's a real life skill. So, like, the
I needed
portion.
That so much. Like, girls, I don't have my driver's license. I've been eligible to get it for, like, 2 years.
Olivia,
I've procrastinated so much.
Quaking right now.
I know. I literally thought of that. I was like, when she released the song, I was like, oh no.
It's a reminder.
It inspired me to get the permit. Because I was like, okay, I can get the permit. And then soon, but we'll see about the license. Hopefully in like a few months.
The hardest part is when you pass the written, and I think the visual, I don't remember the visual at all. I think like you have to look at like a bright light and say something.
There's
I don't
a really visual? Know. There's no you way. Like,
the vision test or something?
I did not do that.
You definitely, you had to, Shivani.
I
you had to.
Promise you I did.
It is required. It's at the
no,
DMV.
No, I think like, it, you, honestly, it might be because I already, like, you have to, like, disclose if you, like, wear, like, contacts that, no, or that,
Shivani,
glasses.
It's not enough.
I'm being so honest with you right now. I promise you, I did not do a vision test.
You did. It was just, like, a 30-second test. So you probably did it and just forgot about it immediately. But you had to. Okay.
It's well, a no from me.
Okay. Oh, now you sound like you're on America's Got Talent. It's a no from me. But
Simon Cowell.
Oh, yeah. Which, who? He was on there when you were on America's Got Talent, right?
He was not a judge while I was
oh,
on
okay.
it.
Okay. Howie was though. It was Howie and that other, that radio guy, right? That.
It was David Hasselhoff. Oh. Sharon Osbourne and Pierce Morgan. And I think Howie came on the next year.
The next oh. year.
Oh. Okay, that or the year sense. After.
Because I was
yeah.
like, there were some
right, like, right after.
Oh, I was just saying there's some British people on there. So I was like, okay, if it's not Simon, I don't know. Is Simon British? He is,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, he is.
I think so, yeah. And Pierce and Sharon were both British.
Wait, is Sharon so, the one with the red hair? Or, like, reddish?
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Yes, memories yeah. are coming back.
Like, mm-hmm. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Wait.
All of them were super sweet.
So speaking of like judges, I mean, so like, did you get to meet like any? I don't want to use the word celebrities, but like, did you?
But she wants to use the word celebrities.
She's using it. So over the years, yeah, definitely.
Name drop.
The first one that comes to mind is Owen Wilson. I mean, if anybody's watching the Loki series, right, I was in a movie with him. He's just a very, very kind person, very down to earth. Who else?
Love that for you.
Woody Harrelson, Amy Poehler, TJ Miller.
You've met Amy Poehler? Oh, my
Scott
God.
Scott Foley.
Love her.
Yeah. George Takei. Cheryl Ladd. I don't know if any of these, I don't know how many of these are familiar to everyone, but yeah.
Hey, I promise
been,
you it'll be
to
familiar to
more.
Some of the listeners. So
yeah, true. Jean Alias, Madison Pettis, and there's like probably a lot more that I'm
yeah,
not remembering,
yeah.
but those are some of the ones that I remember pretty having relationships.
That's so cool.
To some extent.
Like, were you ever like yeah. starstruck? Or maybe, I guess you were younger, so you guys were kind of like all in the same like camp. But were you ever starstruck by like a specific celebrity? Or do you have any like funny story where like you're just like, oh my gosh?
So I wasn't personally when I was really young, because oftentimes like I didn't really
no,
know who
yeah.
they were, you know, a lot of them did a lot more adult content, mm-hmm. right? And I was like 7, but my parents definitely were, which is really
for
funny
sure.
Like they were like, oh, like take a picture with them, and I was like, who are they? And they were like, no, just like trust us, go take a picture,
trust
from
us.
Star Trek, like do it. So it was really funny, but yeah, no, I mean, I guess I still to this day, like, it's not to say that I wouldn't be like starstruck if I like not like Taylor Swift in person, right? But like, I don't know, I just, having been in the industry, I have an appreciation for the fact that people are, and not to like take away from the mystique surrounding celebrities, but like people are just people, mm-hmm. you know, and everybody has like, a lot of them are very down to earth. Obviously you have, everyone can be pretentious at times, but a lot of them are like real people with real families and like real hobbies. Like they probably do beach volleyball on the weekends. Like, I don't know, but like, you know, and just like kind of personalizing it like that and seeing them like sitting in trailers, talking to them, right? And like playing games and having their gum when they offer it to me, right? Like these are like the little things that I remember, and I'm like, you know what? It doesn't, it's, like, they're no better or worse than I am. And, like, mm-hmm. not to say that, like, that is what a celebrity implies. But I think, like, some people can be like, oh, my God, the celebrity, blah.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I just,
like,
I'm
a
little
doll on a shelf or something like that.
There's so much idolization, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can be kind of unhealthy, too, to some extent. Because it's, like, you know, people make mistakes. And oftentimes just, like, adulating a certain individual can lead to just, like, toxicity, especially, like, in the entertainment industry. Obviously, like, there's a lot of, like, toxic, like, beauty standards, for instance, mm-hmm. or toxic expectations. And, you know, I don't know, just for me, it's one of the biggest things I've learned is just to not put anyone on a pedestal and not be surprised when people fall off yeah. a societal pedestal.
I think that's so, like, you know, like, smart of you to do that.
Shivani would love to comment on that.
No, I think that's so smart of you to do that, because I think that, like, I think myself included, you do tend to idolize certain figures, whether they're, I mean, we use celebrities in such a broad term, because it could be someone in the industry, but it could also be like a sports player, like a tennis player mm-hmm. that's like super well known or something. Yeah, right. And I think the common denominator would be, you know, that they're well known by so many people and you idolize them. Mm-hmm. They're like your role model. So you have like these expectations. And then when you put yourself in a certain position where you have the opportunity to meet some of these people, sometimes you are let down, like you say. I don't care if I say this, I still have a couple like people that I'm just like, oh my god, if I could meet that person, like that would be crazy. And I just hope I never get disappointed.
Oh, I do too. Like, I feel that. Yeah. No, like, I definitely, like, there's definitely some people who I'm like, oh, I would love to meet them. Yeah. But also kind of like balancing that with that if they just are knowing. Not exactly like what you said.
Yeah, just knowing in the back just of your knowing, head yeah. that it could go wrong. Like, they could be exactly. not great people. So
Yeah. I wanted to comment on like the humanity. And, like, the importance of, like, just, like, remembering the humanity of all of these celebrities. Because, like, I've, like, met, like, not one-on-one conversations, but have been fortunate to, like, meet people like Jaden Smith. And, like,
oh
yeah, and he is one person that so actually cool. surpassed my expectations entirely. Because I didn't even know the extent or the magnitude to how much, like, human rights work he does and environmental work he does. Like, yeah. he's actually just such an amazing individual and has so many thoughts and ideas and definitely uses his platform in a way to empower people and like to provide resources to people, which mm-hmm. I always thought was super cool. But it's just so weird. It was so weird seeing him because he was actually tinier than I expected. That's like such a funny thing to say, but he was just like he was just tinier than yeah. I thought. I think it was this larger than life image that I like painted in my head because I drove senior year of high school, I drove to school probably for like the second half of the year, and I would like bump his music in my car like on the way to school to like wake myself up. Yeah. And so I feel like I just had this huge picture of him in my head, but then when he was like in the like little auditorium where like I met him, I was just like, "Oh wow, he's just a person." And like he's just having yeah. like a real conversation with us and like really leveling with us. It just like personalized everything so much. And I think it can be so harmful when we forget about that. Like obviously like the Britney Spears mm-hmm. thing that's happening right now with her conservatorship oh, yeah. and just I think a lot of that is bred by the fact that people view her as an entertainer outside of being a person, and because of like the removal of her humanity, she's kind of just drifting through the court system in a very like bizarre way that I don't think would happen to yeah. an ordinary person.
No, it's so true. There's a lot of dehumanization in general in that industry, and I think like it's kind of like what Shivani said a little earlier, right? Like when somebody gets so many followers, you just like know them for the fact that they have a lot of followers, right? Mm-hmm. And so to some extent, like I guess people think that, like for instance, like if somebody leaves a really negative or hateful comment on a social media platform or a post of that individual, like they think of it as, oh, that just gets kind of like engulfed in the flow of all of these other positive comments, they're never going to see it, it's never going to impact them. And yet so many celebrities struggle like so deeply and personally with those few comments that are left, that are hateful, that are really cruel. And it's like remembering that, yeah, exactly, like people are people, they're human, they have the same emotions. And the objectification and dehumanizing of some celebrities I think is just a flaw within our culture as a whole. So I definitely agree with you on that front for sure.
And it still happens. Like you would think that, I think like the whole Gen Z crowd, like you tend to hear a lot about them having very radical like ideologies and stuff like that. But I think that that's like one thing that kind of hasn't changed, like with like the whole, I guess you don't call them celebrities anymore. You call them influencers, right? Like, but especially like TikTok, it's such a toxic place because they don't really care about like the person posting the video or like posting whatever content. They just care about like commenting and then having like people like that comment and having that comment like pushed up. But like they don't really care about like that certain like influencer anymore. And it's like such a shame because I think like I've heard of a lot of that too, where that toxicity, if anything, has gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. Like it's kind of insane.
And it's like a lot of pressure too on influencers, and like obviously there are some influencers who have made very like negative choices absolutely should face societal and public repercussions for that, like 100,000%. But like just in terms of, and like I think especially oftentimes for women, and I know that men experience this too, but like as a woman I can kind of speak from my personal experience with this, like the pressure to fit into certain like beauty standards and body norms, right? Like you mentioned TikTok and its toxicity, like that's absolutely a place in which you are reduced in some capacity to what you look like, to what you are able to fulfill, etc. And like there's so many people who have shared about their struggles with that, but I'm sure countless others who face those struggles, but are, it's like a more personal, intimate battle, you know? And it's just, I think it's Gen Z, like as you mentioned, has a lot of qualities, right? But I think for a generation that tends to be in a lot of areas like way more empathetic than a lot of other generations, I think it's important that members of Gen Z extend that same empathy to people who they haven't met personally, to people who are just like faces
and to themselves,
because behind that it's still and to themselves. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, like we place so, like, social media has just given this outlet to place, and for all the positive things it does, I know, like, it does a gazillion positive things in terms of accessibility and, like, free flow of information, etc., social movements, all of that is awesome, but, like, it also places so much value in a like or in other people's opinions and judgments, and so it's like, you know, like, you're okay, like, you are good as you are, you don't have to, it doesn't matter how many people like you, don't like you, etc., as long as you're good with you, you know? Right. And that's what matters.
And I always call social media the biggest, like, I don't always say this, but, like, I always consider it to be, like, the biggest paradox, because it is simultaneously improving accessibility in so many ways, but also disconnecting people from each other in such tangible ways as well. So it's like this accessible inaccessibility that can be really frustrating, because like you feel like so connected to something, but sometimes that promotes a lot of like a lot of toxicity, as you mentioned. And me and Shivani are nowhere near TikTok stars, but we do have like a TikTok that like we've dabbled in here and there. And I remember one of the things that like Shivani mentioned when we first was making content was like, oh, we have to look like good, as in like we can't look like bums when we post. We're not even bums, but we have to look a little bit better.
We have to like match. Look. We have to match like that status quo of like what that platform like gets likes on.
Worthy.
Like what the consumers want, we have to fit that.
Well, we're gonna get swiped up on. So, like, so then when we went to the beach, we had to at least like kind of, you know,
look
beach ready, like we kind of like at least I brushed my hair. I mean, I do that every day, but like I had to at least look somewhat like presentable.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
It's a challenge some days. No, I feel it. I'm so dead.
No, but speaking of media, I wanted to take a little bit of a turn, because we can talk about, we honestly, like Chinoz and I could honestly talk about TikTok and social media for
forever
ages.
And we have
like episode whatever. But I wanted to talk about like the movies that you've done, because I think that like somewhere I read that you were a part of like the Disney franchise Santa Buddies.
I think you heard it from my voice, Shivani.
but you said two movies, okay? You said
three, I think.
Santa Paws right? 2 and Santa Paws 1, and then the Santa Buddies.
There are some others as well. Yeah.
So anyway,
how was it being an actress, like branching out into it? Because I know that you started as a singer. I'm not sure if you you're still really, really young, so I'm not sure if you had any intentions to be, like, an actress as well or dabble in that. Or, like, I know you said, you mentioned earlier, Caitlin, how you had, like, some connections and that's how you kind of fell into the franchise. But how is that being an actress? I actually watched the movie. I really liked it when I was younger. Aww. But also, I was, like I said, I was a fan growing up. I thought you were so cool.
How did that transition happen? That's so kind. Like, how did that transition happen from, like, singing and going on these like expos and festivals and doing all of that and then like kind of transitioning in that industry?
Yeah, so actually a Disney casting director saw me on America's Got Talent and sent the video, I guess, to the directors and writers of the show, of the movie, and my manager received a call, and they were like, hey, we want Caitlin to come and be in this role in this movie. So it was a direct offer. And then I had a few more that were like that as well. and so that's kind of how it started, and then obviously I got really close with that director, and he was able to connect me to some other projects in the future down the road. And then also kind of as a result of that industry, a lot of Hollywood is about connections. So I actually, most of the roles that I got were not based off of auditions or not based off of the standard casting process. Mm-hmm. Obviously that process has changed over the years. And so right now it's like a lot more accessible to get roles that way for a number of them. But right now, especially due to internet, right, you can just send in a recording and there's your self-tape and then it goes to the casting directors, people watch it, et cetera, evaluate it. But at the time, the audition process was like, you go in for roles, right, you audition, read lines with the producers. Process. And you still like have to do that to some extent, but it's just not as complicated. So luckily, in a lot of cases, I didn't have to go through that process and I was just given these direct offers. And then like other producers or other directors would see you and then they'd be like, oh, hey, like come for this role, that role, etc. And I remember there were a few that I got calls to do like the day before, or they were like the day of, they're like, hey, can you come and record for this film that we're doing? Just come in the studio and you'll have to say a few lines. And I would say like, yes, because at the time I was living part time out in LA. And so it was a lot more accessible for me to do some of that stuff. But it was really great. Like, I loved getting to be in the studio, work with the producers and directors, get to meet all of the different people, and at times go on sets too. I traveled to Canada and some other places to film. Canada's a really kind of central filming hub, so a lot of things were filmed there in Vancouver and in this little ski town for one of the films called Fernie. It's absolutely beautiful. And so that was, I got just some really, really awesome experiences with that. And I guess, like, in terms of whether or not I anticipated doing it and how, like, whether an actress was kind of something that I was interested in, it had always been something that looked cool to me, but I guess, like, at the age of 4, you don't really know too much about the possible career path
or the world in general. Like, you're just kind of vibing and existing.
Yeah, no, exactly, right? Like, me and my pedal car, just, I remember, like, we came home from America's Got Talent filming, and I got home, and I, like, went to my bedroom, and I got my stuffed animal, and then we went outside, and I rode my little pedal car around in my sundress, you know, and that was my life, right? It was totally normal, not a care in the world, and that's awesome. But then, of course, when I had the opportunity to go act, I was like, this is cool, too. Like, I like this. Okay. Like, I get to meet some people. I get to do cool voices, you know. Oh, look, there's the dog. I get to play the dog. Yeah. You know? I always wanted a dog. So that was, like, such a big deal to me. Oh. And I loved being on some of the sets of the movie. So sometimes for voice acting, you will go into a studio and record. Right. And for live acting, a lot of times you'll go onto the set and obviously have to film it in a different location. Yeah. And I would get to be with the dogs and get to pet them and get to just hang out with all the amazing animal trainers and people like that. And I got to, like, give the dogs commands, right? And so it's just, like, the little things like that that I remember so much, because that was so pivotal and so fun. And the producers and casting directors and writers, all of those individuals who were involved in the process of really at the front lines of making a movie, were so gracious and so understanding and magnanimous to me. And I think that I also really credit them with just making my experience, not only just with giving me the opportunity, but with really making it an experience that was magical for me. It's like in some of the Buddies movies, right?
Like a mini family.
It really almost. Is.
Like probably by the end
it
of the...
It is such a
especially
family.
Since you're interacting with probably a lot of the same people throughout the franchise. Like you kind of grew up with some of those people as like mentors for you. And I just... When you said that you were in Canada, I went to Canada very briefly. I went to Ontario with my family.
Okay.
I won't consider it Canada that much because I could physically be in the United States on the other side.
I've got some family here.
We're in Niagara Falls, which I was kind of disappointed because I wanted to go to, like, Quebec and, you know, practice my French and all this stuff. But
Canada.
Yeah, Canada, like, cultural Canada. But I know that Hallmark is based in Canada. And so did you ever get to meet any Hallmark stars? Did you ever see Hallmark sets? I just always consider like the Buddies franchise, especially since you did a lot of like Christmas type movies. Like there is a kind of magic to Christmas. I feel like I love Christmas is one of my favorite holidays.
She starts in September. She literally starts in September.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I have this rule.
As you should.
Because me and Shivani have been best friends since like 7th grade. So she knows me very well. And I have this rule because I love Christmas movies and music so much. But music, I literally had an issue where I listened to Christmas music for... Christmas music also all year round. It was
all
very bad
round.
For me. Like, I had to set a boundary and start listening in September or else I was like doing too much. Except for July, because Christmas in July, of course. So this month, I'm allowed to
listen. I listen to it when I'm sad. Like, I will have dance parties to Christmas music when I am feeling down. So I totally vibe with that. Like, that's awesome. You should. I think it's... Like, okay, I get maybe it's a little bit obsessive year-round, but I think, like, you can allow yourself some little, like, some grace, you know?
I think September is, like, that perfect time because, like, really, like, the trees are, like, changing, like, the leaves are, you know, everything's kind
if
of
you're
becoming.
In the east, if yeah. you're in California, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to the West. Sorry.
It does not apply.
But yeah. I think, like, I think because of our friendship, I also have kind of, just a little bit, have, you know, become a little...
Caught the Christmas bug.
Yeah, caught it just a little bit. But I can't do, like, the summer. Like, this girl would literally, like, play music in June.
Like, because it's not all sad. There's a lot of upbeat music, too. Like, NSYNC, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays is such a jam. You know, there's... Shivani's like, and what?
She's like, no.
It's a jam in the fall, you know?
No, I agree. I think that boundary was healthy. That set for myself. But the main point I wanted to make was I just wanted to know how it felt like to be, like, kind of... Because you're kind of like, I feel like I consider you, like, a Shirley Temple of our time, kind of, in a way. In the sense that, like, you were kind
so
of
kind.
In the industry, like, doing a lot of those kinds of movies, like, at a young age. So, like, how that was, like, doing Christmas music, movies, and probably music, too, because, like, it is a magical time. Did it ever get, like, played out for you? The magic is always real on my end, but...
Honestly, like, this is gonna sound so corny to some people, but... It was always magical. Like, when you would go onto the sets, like, there was something so cool about being on a set that actually had, like, a huge Santa's workshop. And afterwards, we, like, had this thing where we would donate the toys from the workshop to hospitals or
Aww.
Homeless shelters or just charities around there. So that was, like, really cool and magical as well, getting to know that, like, after the film was done, you got to kind of share some of that magic with some others.
Yeah.
But the whole time, it was just... It was so beautiful. And I think also where we filmed the Christmas movies was in Canada when it was snowing and in the mountains. And it was just so scenic and picturesque. Like, there's something about singing Christmas songs while wrapped in these, like, obviously, like, Christmas-esque clothing, because that was kind of the theme of whatever the movie was. And watching snow fall down with this entire town that you've basically rented out. and now is decorated all in terms of Christmas. And it's like this alternate reality, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's this new world that it's like this town that doesn't actually exist, but exists for the purposes of this movie. And everyone on set buys into it.
Right.
You know? And so everyone is kind of making this so alive. And just all of these memories, right? Like, we would do, like, and just giving little gifts to each other, going ice skating on the weekends, right? Like, there was just so many beautiful components of that that, and I don't know, like, maybe it was that I was really young, but I still really do feel like
I don't think so
at an older age.
100%.
Yeah, I still think that if I went back, I would feel exactly the same. It was just so cool, right? And, like, even, like, they would have, like, Christmas animals, right? Like, they would have, like, deer for the reindeer, right? So, like, there was, like, there were elements of this that seemed, like, so real and so cool. So, I just think that whatever, obviously, like, you can be like, oh, whatever, this, what is reality? But, you know, what is reality? I think reality is what you make it to some extent. And I, for, like, if I could go back, I would still absolutely let myself just indulge and just,
as you should,
just take in all of that, because it was so cool and so magical, like, literally some of the best and most memorable moments of my life, for sure.
No, that's so, no, that, I can relate to that, because, like, I love Christmas too, like, for so many different reasons. Christmas is my favorite time of the year. I get corny every single time it comes up again. Like, Shivani knows, I think that I've very much in our friendship just, like, implanted so many of, like, my Christmas traditions onto her, and we've kind of developed a few over the years, like, watching movies and, like, baking cookies. We even have an Instagram picture of us, like, hugging a Christmas tree together
hugging
in, like,
a Christmas
jammies
tree
and socks. Walking around the Christmas tree. So
I think you guys need some, like, matching pajamas. I think that's the next step.
That actually is the next step. We need to do a photo shoot of that and actually post it, and we'll even tag you and be like, thanks Caitlin
for the idea.
We're gonna have to do it in August.
Like, we're gonna have to do this because of college, that thing that is coming up, which I hope you're excited for.
Are you excited?
Duke is an amazing place, and I heard the food is divine, and I've also tried some crepes at, like, a restaurant there, because they have this, like, beautiful glass building full of, like, their dining hall is just, like, insanely beautiful, and, like, they have a crepe place that has the best crepes I've ever tasted in my life. It's Duke is, you're gonna have so much fun.
I love that you mentioned that, because before I visited, right, like, obviously when you get in, like, you know a decent amount about the school, because you have to write the essays and the whole process, interviews, etc. But I remember, like, I didn't know anything about the food, and so it just hadn't ever occurred to me for whatever reason. And I walked into the main dining hall, which is called Woo, and it just, all these little banners are like, oh, like, number one dining, like, just, like, subtle flexes everywhere.
Subtle flexes.
And I was like, okay, I'm a little skeptical. How good can it be? And mind you, this was, like, when everything was basically closed for COVID. So you had, like, abnormal operating hours, reduced staff, etc. It was so good. I literally have not had better food on a college campus. So I definitely lucked out. And
you did.
It's amazing. And I'm going to have to try the crepes. I'm going to need a referral
to that place because I love crepes and I need that to die for in my life. Like I said again, like, I don't think, this is what, when I knew this dining hall, like, that the Woo was, like, the place to be. Like, I had not had food that good in general. Like, anywhere.
Yeah.
Let alone on a student, like, on a school's campus. Like, at Harvard, I pretty much eat, like, cereal and eggs every single day. Just because I'm, like, I'm not even a picky eater.
Harvard is amazing, too, though. Like, can we just give a little commotion for Harvard? Like, amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I love the dining services. Like, I love HUDs. Like, they're some of my favorite people. But I just, like, a lot of the food, like, I just don't eat it. So that's, like, but I think the community that they, like, put together is really amazing. Because, like, I love every single HUDs member. Like, I feel like I know so much about their families and just, like, everything about them. But, you know, that's another
story.
That's
the best. That's amazing. That's so, so cool. Yeah, I definitely hope to, like, develop some of those relationships, you know? Like, I think that'll be fun. Like, when I went to visit Duke for the first time, I met this really sweet guy named Randy in the bookstore. Shout out Randy if he's listening to this for whatever reason.
Yes.
If he made his way onto the podcast page and said,
I hope he has.
He's so sweet. I hope he has, too. And if he hasn't, I hope he will. But he was so kind, just so welcoming. And I remember that it was at that moment that I was like, okay, this is the place that, you know, I belong. And it's so cool how, like, one or two, like, people who are just totally randomly meet at, like, the checkout line of a university store. end up being so meaningful. And, like, I know that on the first week of classes, I'm going to go and, like, say hi to him and maybe bring him, like, a box of chocolates or something. I don't know. It's just so nice to, like, have those people around, that support system just built in. It's just, I don't know. Those people are so, so awesome.
You're going to love it.
Like, I love that you have those,
no, too. You're going to love it, Caitlin. I'm so excited for you. Like, you have such a big future ahead of you, just, like, with your music, like, with your, like, you have so many different things going on. And I think that going back to what you said earlier about just like your so many interests that feel like they're competing, or that they might be competing for time or don't necessarily align with one another, I just encourage you to just do them all, like,
do really, it all,
like, do it all, because you can. And like you said, like, music is a binding force that really helps the world to go round and creates harmony and melody amongst people. And, like, foreign policy, I'm also interested in, like, foreign policy, human rights, like, law.
Oh, awesome.
So, like, as a fellow person in that area, like, I really do believe, like, all these different platforms do converge, especially when we become adults and leave this, like, more academic space. So, like, yeah, like, you just as someone coming into freshman year, just, like, enjoy every single aspect of it. Hopefully things will be opening up more and more for
you. You're going to have probably the best year, because I feel like everyone is tired, like, sick and tired of, you know, everything that's been kind of going on. And now that we all are going to be back on campus with our respective campuses, like, it's going to be a wild year. Like, I really think so. I think you're going to have the best of everything.
Shivani's excited to party.
She said a lot.
Well, now that, you know, I'm 21, I won't be going into any of those houses. You know, be safe.
You're classy, you're fine lady now.
Yes, classy. But, yes. But yeah, no, I think you'll
but
definitely have a great time.
Oh, you are going to have a good time. And before we end, I was like, let me agree with that for a second. Before we end, we have a little tradition on Karma Whenever Podcast where we do a little, like, singing bit. I don't know, since we talked about Christmas and things like that, I'm not sure if you have any Christmas songs that you like, or if there's any, like, song that you just, like, really relate to. We'd love if you could, like, maybe sing a bit of it, or maybe, like, I don't know, if that's something you're comfortable doing.
Chinaza will join.
Or we could sing it
so
together.
So it's, like, it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be the two.
Yeah, like, any of those, because I'm the one who sings, like, most times, and I can't even sing, so...
Oh my gosh, I love that tradition so much. So fair warning, like, I don't know if you've been able to tell, I'm kind of recovering from a little cough after, like, doing a debate tournament. I just, like, wasted my voice, and so now I'm just, like, I have this, like, lingering cough that goes on. So, you know what, I think we should sing, like, I'm happy to sing individually, but
we
I feel like
sing
for
together.
The tradition,
I love...
we should all sing together, yeah,
I love that.
Your tradition. Does anyone have, like, a favorite Christmas song? I like all of them, so.
We also like all of them, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
You pick, and I'll follow your lead.
And I will...
I have to be careful, because there's so many Christmas songs that I like that I realize I don't know more than, like, two lines to.
It's okay. We can sing those two lines, too. It's
that's
like
what we essentially do, usually. We do those two lines.
Okay.
Very
lovely.
Small bit.
Oh my gosh, why? I can't, like, remember Christmas songs.
It's because it's because both of our eyes are on you right now.
Yeah,
I know. I know. This is stage fright 101, guys. Like, this is where it's going to become.
Stage fright
I'm
is actually
kidding.
More powerful when it's with people, like, you have talked
you
to
know.
And when it's a smaller crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I just honestly cannot think of a Christmas song. Okay, the only song that's coming to my head right now is Jingle Bells.
That was the one that was coming to my head, too.
That's perfect.
It's meant
okay,
to be.
Let's sing Jingle Bells. All right, what key are we doing this in, ladies?
Oh, keys.
This
is so informal.
Oh, that was the funniest thing. I have to clip this part.
No, that.
I'm just kidding.
The way that I just sing it
froze.
And have no.
Does anyone have a preferred starting note? I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I'm just joking. I'm literally just joking. I'm sorry.
No. You totally need to choose a point. You're actually going to join us this time because it's a classic song.
I don't want to pick where we start. Just pick the chorus because that's the best part.
Jingle bells, jingle bells,
jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun,
oh, what
it, is
fun. It is to ride in a one-horse open
hey,
sleigh.
Jingle
hey,
bells,
jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh,
what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the... No, I'm joking.
Oh, I was like,
I'm not
going
to continue.
I was going to go go there with you, though.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. This was such amazing. A great conversation, Caitlin. Like, I had so much fun talking to you. I feel like...
I did, too. Oh, I love you guys so much. This has been awesome.
Yeah, no, of course. Come back whenever. Like, we literally love doing this. Like, if you're ever in the Boston area, feel free to hit me up. Like, my...
Yeah, for sure.
Su casa. I speak French. I don't speak Spanish.
Isn't it su casa? I'm pretty sure it's su casa for Spanish.
That.
I got you with the Chinese. Wodijia? Yes, you needed
ya. Oh.
We can have like language representation.
Yes. Mamezon et ta maison. French.
Oh.
All right, Chimani, you go.
Oh, okay.
You just
chose like the three most common languages.
Okay. Even Evo, we can go there. No, I'm joking.
Go.
Oh, wow. Okay, y'all can keep going. I'm out.
Representation. No.
let's wrap up the pod.
Do you have any links, socials you want to drop?
Yeah, my Instagram is at Caitlin Mayer. My YouTube channel is just Caitlin Mayer. And my Facebook is Caitlin Mayer as well, or Caitlin Mayer Official. So you should be able to... to access all of that pretty easily.
And we'll link it in there. We'll link this stuff in the bio. So for the listeners, don't fret. Just look in the the bio.
So if you guys missed that very clear description,
Caitlin Meyer.
You can also find it on the description as well as our socials. You know, subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, the whole lot. Am I missing anything, Shivani?
Shoot us an email whenever you want. Give us the critiques, the things that you like. Maybe if you want to be on our pod, let us know. And have a great holiday season, guys. Like, literally have a great, great rest of the year.
Christmas.
Like, literally rest Hanukkah. Of the year. Hanukkah, whatever it may be. Sure. And as always, call us whenever.
Bye, guys. Love you.